Well, hello, everybody. It's Tuesday of Easter week at Basic Gospel, and with Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd love to hear from you on today's broadcast. If you have a Bible question or issues you're dealing with, we'll welcome your call right now at 844-322-2742. We'll talk it through with you right now. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. And to help us stay on track, here's my friend, Bob Christopher.
Thank you, Bob. We're talking about the resurrection all week in light of our Easter celebration that's coming up Sunday. I think I've said time and time again, it is the singular most important event that has ever occurred. It's the event that gives us hope. It's the event that changed everything.
Yes.
I mean, absolutely everything. Of course, if you believe the story, if you believe the good news that Jesus actually died to take away our sins, that he was buried, and that on that third day he was raised alive, then all the questions that we as human beings have are answered. We found our solution. We found our way out of the domain of sin and death. You know, science today, Bob, they're investing just millions and billions of dollars of in research to try to find a solution for death.
Yeah,
they're trying to find solutions for all kinds of diseases. They want a cure for cancer, a cure for heart disease, a cure for all of these things. But underneath all of that, there's this quest. There's this drive to find the ultimate solution, and that's a solution to death.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you that as long as men live on this earth, and as long as Jesus is still at the right hand of God the Father and hasn't returned yet to draw us unto himself and bring in the new heavens and the new earth, man is going to seek that solution. They're going to try to figure it out. But it is always going to be beyond our reach. We will never figure out a solution to death.
Yeah.
Only God has the power over death. And he displayed that 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus Christ. He brought somebody dead, dead in every way possible. He infused life, everlasting life, into Jesus. His body came out of that grave, and he is alive and will be alive forevermore. And because he lives, we live. So the solution to death has already been presented to us. He brought life and immortality to light through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So what does this resurrection mean to you? How does it impact you? Well, I want to read three passages very quickly. The first is 1 Corinthians 15:17, and it says this: and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. So the resurrection gives substance to your faith. It gives meaning to your faith, and it delivers you from the domain of sin and death.
Yeah.
So we were once controlled by sin and death. We were slaves in that realm. But now, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he has given us a way out. And now, because of Christ and the fact that he was indeed raised from the dead, we are no longer in our sins. Where are we? We are in Christ. That's where we are. We are in the realm of grace and life because we're in Jesus Christ. So all of this is only true because Jesus Christ was actually raised from the dead. So as we talked about yesterday, if you want to crumble Christianity, if you want to bring Christianity to its knees, debunk the fact of the resurrection. And many skeptics have tried to do that.
Sure.
They have tried to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the story that Christ was raised on the third day was made up. It was merely a hoax perpetuated on mankind. But most every time a skeptic has tried to disprove the resurrection has proved itself to them.
Yeah.
And at the end of their quest, they have fallen on their knees and they have called Jesus Christ both Lord and God and have received him as their very life. So this resurrection is the story. It is the hinge on which Christianity turns. Take away that hinge, there is no Christianity. The second verse is in Romans 6:4. We read this, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life." So what does the resurrection mean to you and me? It means that we too have been raised to walk in the newness of life. Just as Christ was raised from the dead physically, we're raised spiritually and can now live in the newness of life. And then the third passage is this, 1 Peter 1:3, "According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So what does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to us? It means new birth into a living hope. All of us as human beings need hope. We're looking for hope desperately. And death takes that hope away from us. If death is the end of our story, then there's no hope for any of us. But because Jesus Christ was made alive, because he was raised from the dead, now we have a living hope. We know that there is something beyond the grave. All of this made possible for us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the question gets down to this: do you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead? That is the question. And if you genuinely believe, as Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, then you will be saved. You will be born again into a living hope. You will be raised to walk in the newness of life. You will have a faith that has substance and meaning to it. Why? Because it's attached to Jesus. And you will be delivered from your sins, from that realm of sin and death, so that you can experience new life in Christ Jesus. That is the power of the resurrection.
What a message. Thank you, Bob, for sharing that. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition, this Tuesday edition of Easter Week here at Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742. That's the number to call if you have a question or if you would like to discuss some particular life issue with us and allow us to take you into the Word of God to seek a solution for that. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on Basic Gospel. You know, the upcoming observance of Resurrection Day is a most proper time, I think, to say thank you for what Jesus has done for us by making a generous gift to keep his message going forward. And we sincerely thank those of you who faithfully support Basic Gospel every month. When you make your gift this month, we're going to send you a copy of Bob's excellent resource, a study called The New Covenant Journey. Click donate when you visit basicgospel.net and make your gift and request your copy, as I said, of The New Covenant Journey. Now, if you're new to Basic Gospel, we urge you to keep listening and allow the truth of God's love and grace and life in the Lord Jesus Christ to sink deeply into your heart. And if that has already begun, if that's begun a reality in your life, well, we ask you to prayerfully consider supporting this ministry and this message with a celebration of Easter gift here at Basic Gospel. You can make your gift any time, and as you do, be sure to request your copy of The New Covenant Journey. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had this question that came in by email, this one from Roger. It concerns Matthew 16:28, which reads, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Can you explain what Jesus meant here? They did die, and they didn't see that happen. So what's going on, he says?
Well, I think the immediate answer is chapter 17, Matthew chapter 17. And in chapter 17, it says this: "After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it's good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' And he was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. So this is an immediate fulfillment of what Jesus was telling them, that they are going to see Jesus in his glorified state.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened on that Mount of Transfiguration. He was transfigured before them. Mm-hmm. And that is the word of transformation. So his face shone like the sun. So we see the real glory of Jesus Christ, the real essence, the real nature of who he was being manifest externally. So when he became one of us, he became flesh and blood and dwelt among us. So many people merely looking at Jesus, the one born in Bethlehem, the one that grew up in Nazareth, the one that started his ministry on the shores of the Sea of Galilee and Capernaum, they would see a man, a human being, flesh and blood. Well, here, Peter, James, and John had the opportunity to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. So again, the true essence of who Jesus was made manifest to them externally. Yeah. They got to see that with the fact that his clothes became white as light. Now, that's interesting. When we are transformed, when we are made new, when we are transfigured, we are made new on the inside. And what Jesus says to us, be transformed. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So what is Jesus saying? Let who you really are on the inside shine through you to the outside, inside to outside. Yeah. That's the way it works. Many times we put on religious masks, we put on worldly masks, we put on all of these things, and we hide the real you, the real us, the fact that we are children of God. But there has been a transformation that took place inside of us, and God wants that transformation to show forth through us, just as it did on the Mount of Transfiguration for Jesus Christ himself. Now, it's interesting with this particular story, Moses and Elijah appear with Jesus. And we have to recognize that they were in some sort of bodily form, some sort of recognizable form. Maybe it was an intermediate body before they would get their real resurrection bodies. We don't know that. All that we do know is that they were recognizable to Peter, James, and John. Now, what do they represent? Why were they there? Well, they were there because they, in essence, during their lives, were telling the story of Jesus through what they wrote in the Bible. We see Moses. Jesus says, if you believed Moses, you would believe me because Moses wrote about me. Jesus was the subject of Moses's words written in the first five books of the Old Testament. So the law testified, gives a testimony concerning Jesus Christ. Elijah represents the prophets. So there's going to be someone that came in the power of Elijah. That happened to be John the Baptist. But Elijah represents the prophets. What was the word of the prophets? It's the story of Jesus. So we have the law, we have the prophets, we have Jesus Christ himself, and then the word from God the Father, all bearing witness that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. This is the one in whom God is well pleased. Listen to him. So everything in the word of God coming together at this singular moment telling us that Jesus truly is the way, the truth, and the life. So he was transfigured before them, and that is the immediate fulfillment of what Jesus said in 1628.
Yeah, you know, the Apostle Peter is kind of known as being the impetuous one, and I think it's kind of a interesting little side note to that story where he's wanting to build altars to three of them, and it's like the Lord says, stop talking, listen to my son.
Well, I love how he writes it here. Peter is talking, and then God just starts to speak. Didn't even pay attention to what Peter was saying, and then his voice just drowned out Peter, and finally shut his mouth so he could listen. Sometimes we're like that in our own lives. Something occurs, something powerful happens, and we feel like we just have to talk, we just have to say something, instead of just simply sitting back, listening, taking it all in, and letting it become part of us.
There's a lot of fun in the Bible.
Yes, yes, indeed.
This is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. We have an open line for you at 844-322-2742, and we have some time on the clock. We would love to discuss your particular Bible question, or if you have an issue in life that you're struggling with, give us a call. 844-322-2742. That number's good overnight as well if you don't hear the live broadcast. If you're hearing a delayed broadcast, of course, just call that same number, 844-322-2742. Leave a voicemail for us. We'll be glad to address it here on Basic Gospel. Well, Bob, a question from Dave. He says,
before you do that, let's talk about some new videos that are up on our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
All of us won't rest in our lives. I mean, I've done so many different Bible studies with men's groups, and one of the things that I ask, you know, if you could ask Jesus for anything, what would it be? And most all of them say, I would just like a little bit of peace. I would just like a little bit of rest internally. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we're all looking for. We come into this world restless. We're on a quest. We're searching for answers. We're trying to figure out life. We're trying to figure out how to make it in this world, how to love others, how to handle our families. There's so much that we have on our minds, so much that we're trying to figure out, and we never can rest because we don't figure it out. Yeah. There's always something more to think about. So people are restless. They're looking for rest. Well, that rest is available through faith in Jesus Christ. And our good friend Richard was here last week, and he did a segment on how to experience the Sabbath rest. And we put that together as a YouTube video, and it is really one powerful video.
It
so
is.
We want you to go and listen to that and learn how to experience the Sabbath rest through faith in Jesus Christ. It will absolutely change your life. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them on the sixth day. That was the pinnacle of creation. That was his final work in creation, was Adam and Eve. And then once he finished that, he rested. And so Adam and Eve began their relationship with God from a place of rest. Well, Jesus Christ restores that place of rest through his finished work on the cross. And so when we believe the gospel, he delivers us to that destination. And from that place of rest, we can really start to enjoy this relationship that we have with God the Father. We can truly grab hold of this life that God has given us and experience it to the full. But it has to begin from a place of rest. So Richard, as I said, does a masterful job in leading us to that place of rest. So that video we released yesterday, it's available on our YouTube channel, basicgospel.net/YouTube. That will get you there. And then Thursday, we're releasing a video on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How do we know that it actually happened? So I examined some of the historical evidence, some of the theories that have been put forth out there to try to debunk the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and why we can believe with full confidence based on the historical evidence that indeed Jesus, that God the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So be on the lookout. If you're not subscribed to our YouTube channel, this would be a great opportunity to subscribe and to get this wonderful, these wonderful resources, mm-hmm. not only for your own benefit, but you can share them. Yes. There's so many questions that we have answered there on our Basic Gospel Answers channel. So go and take advantage of this. Sign up. And when you do, you will get notification whenever we upload a brand new video.
Very good. That, of course, basicgospel.net/YouTube. And there are just many, many videos that have been produced and lots of other material as well. So we hope, as Bob said, take full advantage of them. Here's a question from Dave. And he says, do I have to pray for what God already wants?
Well, and the answer is we have the privilege to pray. And we want to pray when we pray. We want to pray according to God's will. And when we do so, that really is a confirmation that we are being led by the Spirit of God, that indeed we are children of God. So we have been brought into a relationship with God the Father. God sent His Spirit into our hearts by His Spirit. We cry out, Abba, Father. So we understand what this relationship with God the Father is all about. It really is a family relationship. We're part of the family of God. And as we continue to learn from the Spirit of God, allowing Him to guide us into all truth, taking the things of the Lord Jesus and making them known to us. As we learn about those things, then we talk to our Father about those things. And when we pray according to the will of God, when we pray based on the things the Spirit of God is teaching us, then we know that those requests that we make of God, that we have. Why? Because it's the will of God for us. Yeah. And what we're going to find out is that what God has for us is good and pleasing and perfect to us. So, yes, I think it's important for us to pray. That's part of our relationship with God the Father. But it's important to pray in response to what God, through His Spirit, is working in and through us. And as we do, we can know that our request are in line with the Word of God, with the will of God, and we know that we will have those things that we've asked.
Yes, indeed. For. Thanks, Bob, for that. And I think we have time to squeeze in one more question, maybe.
Yes, we do. Lindy, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, thank you so much, Bob. First off, I want to say, in regards to the question that you put forth earlier in the beginning of the show, and that is, yes, so I'll see you in heaven.
Awesome. Awesome.
Okay, and the other one is, I want to say this is for Biden and for hopefully a lot of peace for everyone that's not in peace out there. And that's Romans 13:4. And it says, this is for Mr. Biden in the office with all of his minions. For he is a minister, see, because they all have Jesus in their heart, but they've gone back to their old ways. And Romans 13:4. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But, for he is a minister of God to thee for good. But,
that's okay. That's okay, Lindy. We're,
the music is coming. I know.
We're almost out of time. But, Lindy, thank you for saying yes to that question that we posed at the beginning. Do you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead? And thank you for sharing this passage out of 13 about the role of government in our world today.
Yes, indeed. And
friends, happy Easter.
Yeah, and friends, thank you for joining us today. Please remember, we have a great resource we'd like to share with you for supporting Basic Gospel in this month of March. It's called The New Covenant Journey, written by Bob Christopher to help you live your life in Jesus Christ to the fullest. We'll send you a copy, as I said, to say thank you for your celebration of Easter gift to support Basic Gospel. Be sure to request your copy when you click donate at basicgospel.net. Also, if you have a question overnight, give us a call at 844-322-2742, and we'd love to hear from you. Now for Bob and the ministry staff, Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. See you then. Bye-bye.